Jesus' name, we thank you. God, I thank you for Hope Church. God, I thank you, God, that this was birthed out of your heart. And God, I pray that you would just continue to give us wisdom. God, I pray that you would give me to be able to articulate, God, what you've put in our hearts. And Father, we thank you. God, like Julie said, God, Jesus, you are the head of the church. Make no mistake, Jesus, it's you. And so, God, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us and speak through the different people that are going to talk today. God, we honor you. It's all about you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, I want to share a little bit about the vision that God's given us here at Hope Church. We started in 2012, and the idea was to create a community of hope, is what the Lord actually gave me, is to create a community of hope so that we could all be like iron sharpening iron, so that we could be a people that help each other grow. It's our conviction here at Hope Church that really the great discipleship, and by discipleship I mean becoming into the image of Jesus and becoming more like him, is discipleship. Not just growing in our knowledge, but growing in our actions and how we live out what we talked about last week, about living in the true kingdom. Like Brian said earlier, it is an upside down kingdom. It is where the last shall be first. And it is a giving type kingdom. And it's a kingdom where we give and we honor other people above ourselves. And so when we talk about a community of hope, we exist because for this. We are a community of hope existing to help people get closer to God. That is who we are. It is that simple. We are a community of hope existing to help people get closer to God. Because it's our conviction that it's through Jesus that the answers come. Solutions come. Peace comes. Right? It's through people. And here, let me give you the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says this, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ was making an appeal through us." See that? It's through us. "We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." It's our passion to see people get reconciled to God. People who are far off from God to be reconciled to God. Whether that's for the first time, or whether that's somebody who's been hurt by church and have had bad experiences in church life and have turned away from God because of some things that we as Christians can so often do. Amen? We as Christians, all of us. But we exist to help people, even those people, to get reconciled to God. Because it's through the reconciliation that life comes. The life-giving power of God comes when people are reconciled with God. And we want to create a community. Because it doesn't just happen from a pulpit. Discipleship doesn't happen from a pulpit. It happens as we interact with each other, as iron sharpening iron. Yeah, you're going to learn some things from it. Hopefully you'll learn some things from the pulpit. Hopefully you'll learn things from our discipleship classes. Hopefully you'll learn things in our small. But it's when each other, we all grow together and we encourage one another daily, like the scripture says, that we encourage, we are a part of what God is doing. And it's our passion. That's what drives us, that people are reconciled with God. I meet people all the time. It's amazing. I met a guy just this week, and I work, some of you know, I work part-time, and I met this guy just this week, and he is, I'll just say it, he's one of the most foul-mouthed guys. He's just one of those guys, right? He's a, you know, good blue-collar worker with a foul mouth. And he found out, every once in a while, I don't go blabbing it, right? But every once in a while, somebody will find out that I'm a pastor. And it's amazing when that happens. Let me just tell you that. It's amazing. Oh. But it's what's great is this is what I get to experience. Everybody else gets off the truck, and it's me and that guy standing there. And you know what he says? He goes, "I used to go to church." He goes, "And without fail, this is what people tell me." It's more than the other reactions of "we hate God." Come on. This is what he says. "Man," he goes, "I'm going through a divorce." He goes, "I really need to get my life back with God." I go, "Where do you live?" He said, "Noonan." I said, "Too bad. He said, I really need to get my life right with God because it's just me and him talking. And the crowd's gone away. Right? It's Nicodemus in the middle of the night going to see Jesus. Right? But he talked to me like, because listen, this, like Jesus said, the fields are wider than you think for harvest. Right? And I believe it's our passion here that if we can be a group of people that can accurately represent Jesus as an ambassador, if we can accurately represent him, it's very drawing. People were drawn by Jesus because of who he is and who he was. So it's amazing where people are really at through all of their whatever they present to the world. There's still a hunger. The Bible says that God has created, put eternity in the hearts of everybody. So it's there. It's there. And it's amazing. There was no judgment. Never judged them. Never told them, hey, you need to stop swearing. Don't cuss around me. Right? Notice Jesus never did that. Right? So it's our heart that if, when we represent Jesus, we accept people right where they're at because God accepted us right where we're at and still accepts us right where we're at. Right? To be a family of people that love people, no matter who they are when they walk through. And yes, no matter who they are when they walk through these doors. Because God is continually drawing them, drawing people. And he pleads, like the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, as though God were making his plea through us, which he is, be reconciled with God. And that's our heart here at Hope Church. We want to see people get reconciled with God because God, through Jesus, changes everything. Everything. So this Sunday, we just want to reiterate that vision. And so, and just I wanted us to kind of give an idea of kind of where we're at in our church. So over the last year, much like the Avengers, we have assembled a team. Because, listen, I believe that God's called us to grow. I believe that God's called us in many areas to grow. And I believe that we this year have laid a foundation with the leaders that we now have in place to really, to be, we've never been so ready for growth in our existence than we are right now. And so I want to introduce to you this morning, one of the things I want to talk about and not me talk about, but I want to introduce to you our leaders here at Hope. And I want to introduce them to you. I want them to share briefly the heart of who they are and what they bring to our church and what their heart is. And I want you to hear from them. And so let me back up. So what we did is we identified six different areas of where we needed good, strong leaders in our church. And we slowly filled those with people as God gave us direction. And so the first one being business, the second one being children and youth, we needed leaders over all those. This next one is worship and arts, outreach, Sunday morning experience, all the stuff that you see that goes on a Sunday morning, as far as your experience when you walk in and you smell that coffee and you smell, is that sausage and eggs? That's amazing. And if you don't like, you can have turkey sausage. It's all good for everybody. So Sunday morning experience. And then also spiritual formation or discipleship that we've created. And we've had leaders in place so that we can grow, so we can go to the next level that God's called us to do. The first person I want to introduce, and I want to invite up here, and I want you to hear from, is Craig Hobson. Craig Hobson is one of our, he is actually one of our board members, as well as he helps me with some of the business stuff that goes on here at Hope Church. And I'm not going to introduce you anymore. There you go, Craig. Just take a liberty. Give him a hand. Craig Hobson.
We were given 3 minutes, and I told Rachel I heard 30, so got the timer. No, real quickly, I help Pastor with a lot of the business, and we're doing well. Just tell you that we're doing well. I'm not going to go over numbers or anything of that nature. But really what I want to say is this. I want to kind of, I handle all the business, right? Amen? So I help him out. But as we've been talking through the year, and even we were going over it on Monday night, we really want to say, well, why do we do what we do? Why are we here at Hope Church doing what we do at Hope Church? And, through the years, I've had the opportunity to be on staffs of churches, big churches. I mean, 1,500 in attendance churches. I've been on staff. Now, I'm not on staff here. I give because I love this place. And I've been on all size churches. But I'll say this. The reason I'm here and the reason that I want to be here is that I've been to other churches throughout different places, really around the United States, where I've been able to minister in five different states and do ministry in other churches and all that. There's something that's very unique about Hope Church. And I know that's a trite word, unique. It's different, but it is different. And I just jotted down a few things that, the opportunity here, if you want a place where you have the freedom to honor Jesus, and you go, well, isn't that in every church? I wish. But if you want to have the freedom to honor Jesus and to worship Jesus with freedom and be totally set free to just worship the Lord Jesus, this is the place. This is the place. If you're looking for the perfect church, go to heaven. That's where the body believers are. It doesn't exist on this earth, okay? Are we perfect? We're not a perfect church. But Pastor said before, we're imperfect people, but we worship a perfect God who comes in our life and shows us how to live and love one another. Another thing I wrote down was this. It's a place that we allow the Holy Spirit of a living God to move. And you would go, well, people don't do that. Well, why would they put the scripture that says, do not quench the Spirit if the Spirit could be quenched? But there's places that quench the Spirit. This is not a place. And I'm not putting down any other place out there because I can't tell you who they are. I don't know. But I know that I found a place. And the reason I came here to do what I do is to play that keyboard and just to worship with this worship team and help Pastor out and help Julie out and help any way I can. You need trash? I'll take it. It's because this is a place where there's freedom, where the Spirit of God moves, where there's power, there's anointing of the Spirit. There's a smearing of the Spirit of God upon the people of this place. I look forward to coming to Wednesday night practice so I can be with Robert and I can be with Mark and Brian and Jess and just this team. I look forward to Sunday morning so I can see Leonard walk through those doors again and give him a big hug and kiss on his head. I look forward to those days because of the family of God where the Spirit of God is free. That's why I do what I do here, is because there's freedom. And the last thing I'll say this, how am I doing on time? It's a place that allows people to use the spiritual gifts that God's given them. I mean, I know my talent's a keyboard. Been playing for 47 years, 48 years. So, but it's a place that allows me to play more than one finger at times. I get to use two or three fingers. Every now and then Brian goes, you can use three fingers today. But it's a place where we can use whatever gift it is that God's put in you. Yeah. Whatever it is, this is the place for you to be. Yeah. And it's a family that loves each other. It's a place where the Spirit of God is. It's a place where Jesus is lifted up and our Heavenly Father is glorified. Yeah. And that's why I do what I do, is because of this place and the people, which is you guys, which makes the body. That's why I do what I do. Oh, and I do business as well. Amen, Pastor.
Craig's and I we've been friends for a long time, and I sure appreciate him and all of his wisdom that he gives me, and he helps me so much. So the next person I want to introduce is our outreach. We just recently put Tyrone Hawkins as our outreach director. So anything and everything outreach is going to flow through him. So Tyrone, why don't you come up here and share your heart?
Good morning. Thanks, Dave. I got to follow Craig. Man, that's not even cool, bro. So why outreach? Because we are all part of the same body. We all have different functions. Romans 12 says that just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This church brought me in when I was the stubbed toe. This church brought me in when I was the broken arm and built me up and strengthened me and gave me a foundation and cultivated in my heart and my spirit what is Christ's love. I have the blessing of not knowing any strangers. I'll go anywhere, talk to anybody, and as the days go on, all I have to talk about is the love of Christ with people. So it is my passion to see a heartbroken soul that is precious to Jesus, right where he or she is at, come to the love of Christ, renounce the degradation, renounce the perversions of this world, and say, above everything else, what is important to me is the love of Christ that I have learned through this person or that person. So it's my joy and my privilege and my honor to equip other people to have that same heart, to equip people with the tools they have to walk up to a complete stranger and just start talking about the Savior of this world. Because it's strange, it's weird, it's uncomfortable. We have social anxiety. So the thing is once we get over ourselves and let Jesus do the work, it's not about us. It's not about Tyrone's great speech on how Jesus is going to rock your world. The thing is being there, being next to somebody and sharing the love of Christ. And as an ex-addict, I'll tell you, there's nothing more fun. There's nothing more thrilling than to walk into a situation and not know how it's going to go. It's an adrenaline rush. Rick Willoughby, he's an adrenaline junkie. He knows about it. You don't know if you're going to get told off or just they're going to cry on your shoulder, whatever it is. But it is my passion. It is my passion and honor. And I look forward to getting some things in place for this next year to be able to empower and just cultivate and give you everybody opportunities to find out where it is they thrive, where it is they do the best at. When we went out with Emily Rodriguez, we talked to the waitress at the Waffle House, Giffney, her name was, and you know, I kind of opened the door and said, well, is it okay if we pray with you? And she said, yeah. I said, what can we pray with you about? She said, my children. I said, perfect. I have no children, but Emily does. And Jesus showed up in the middle of that Waffle House and wrecked that girl's day. And it was a beautiful thing. There were tears in the waffles that day. So I love outreach. I love talking to our community. I love strengthening the community and seeing the community turn away from addiction, turn away from perversion, and turn to what's really important in this world, the love of Christ spreading throughout their community. That's all I got.
Awesome, awesome. I could say like a whole speech over every one of these people, but I'm going to reframe. I've talked about Tyrone enough in my messages. So the next person we're going to introduce is, I want to introduce Charlene Loda. Charlene Loda is, she could not be here. She had a family thing. She had to travel to be with some family. But we did record her by video. I said, you're not getting out that easy, Charlene. So we record her by video, and here is our video.
Hi, I'm Charlene Loda. I'm responsible for the Sunday morning experience. So anything that you see going on here Sunday morning in terms of food, greeters, things like that, that comes under me. So it's something that's been on my heart for a long time. And as I've been blessed to be able to visit other churches and be a part of other churches, I've realized, and even in my own life, realized how important it is when you walk in that door and what happens. You have your greeter team, you have people in place to make you feel welcome, and that's all great. But you know what? We are all part of that team. I know when I first came to the Lord, one of the best experiences I had was walking into that new church of mine and having the person next to me start talking to me, or somebody else that was sitting near me. It wasn't always the person that was at the front door, but they're very important. And my heart is just to make sure that when somebody walks through that door, that we, not knowing where they've come from, what their background is, how deep hurts might be, what past experiences with churches might be, that we are different. There's that song that says we will be, that you'll know us by our love. That's what we want to be here at Hope Church. We are that now, but we're going to be better. We want people to be able to walk through this door and say, you know what? I'm home. I'm home. This is where I belong. I came here feeling a little bit, not too certain, but I'm home. I'm home. And that's my heart, is to make sure that through the breakfast team, the greeters, everything that happens, all the distractions are gone and everyone can just focus on what they need from God today. And that will draw them closer to Jesus, and hopefully it'll make them say, you know what, this is cool, I'm coming back next week. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know a lot of you here are of the same heart, and that's what makes Hope Church so special. So I thank you for the time, and that's me.
Charlene also helps us with all of our visitor follow-up. She helps us with, and she helps us with like hospital visitations. She helps me, and she's amazing. Charlene has been a huge blessing to our church this year. Next, moving right along, is I want to introduce our spiritual formations, our discipleship person, and you may have heard her if you were here a couple of weeks ago. You actually heard her speak a couple of weeks ago, which was amazing. So I want to introduce you to Jessica Fields.
Good morning. Good morning. So I get the privilege of serving over spiritual formations and discipleship. And why do we do what we do, and what are we going to do? It's very important to me. I don't know if you know me, you might kind of go like, yeah, that makes sense. But my heart is that the people of God know the Word of God, because that's His revelation to all humanity. It's been crucial in my own story of knowing who I am. So I'm very passionate about people knowing their identity in Christ, and the freedom that is available, like truly, truly available. I believe, and I'm not convinced otherwise, that being a follower of Jesus holds the market on faith, holds the market on hope, holds the market on true love. And it is the power, the gospel is the power to change this world. So I believe that. And so wherever you are in that walk, I want to be the encourager of that and the facilitator of that. I can't teach every Bible study. I don't want to. Well, I may want to sometimes, but I want to equip you. I think often, you know, the Word of God, a lot of times agriculture is used throughout Scripture to bring us a picture in our mind of what it's like planting seeds in our heart, the Word of God. And the truth is, we're all farmers of our own heart. We're all the ones that Scripture tells us that we work out our own salvation. And so I just want to be that like tractor store that you can come and get your supplies. I want to be the one that can, if you have a passion, I need to know if you have a passion or you have an inkling or you have a desire. I want to sow into that. I want to encourage that. I want to equip that. As Craig was saying, this is a safe place to step into your giftings. I'm not afraid of people being wrong. I'm not afraid of people getting messy with the Word, of figuring it out. It's actually the most fun part to me, of me to push back and go, but did you think about, and challenge and stretch, because I think it's a safe, I think, I don't know, God decided to entrust His Word to humanity. Like, He took into account we're going to mess it up some. So be willing to get in there. But I think God calls us to work out our salvation, but he asked us and He gave us the grace gift to do it in community. He gave us people to do it with, and allowing people to come alongside who maybe have already walked that path, or maybe two steps before you or two steps behind you. And so I want to facilitate that. So looking ahead to 2020, we are looking to continue doing what's going great, continue small groups that are thriving, starting additional small groups on another side of town, because just sometimes, like, I understand. Here's what I understand. I understand our lives are real, and I understand that just about every believer has a heart to truly dig in, but also has, like, kids and dinner and ball practice and families and things like that. And so I think we have creative ways and opportunities to make that work. So we're going to have lots of entry points that you can step into, whether that's weekly Bible studies, whether that's going to be seminars that take place throughout the year, because I think that God's word is applicable to all areas of our life, not just, you know, what seems like the super spiritual. But so we'll be doing seminars about finances. We'll be stepping into opportunities for couples in marriage to grow in their marriage as serving together and being one in that. I'm going to make our first announcement. In 2020, we're excited. We are going to be starting an adult Sunday school class. So I made a promise that my only insistence is that we actually call it Sunday school, because it's I just think that's fun. So that's something you can look forward to. I've been hearing people say, I don't want to get deeper, I want to grow in. Well, it'll be an opportunity on Sunday mornings. But we're really excited that actually we have even additional ways that you're going to be able to grow and step in. And it's going to take some commitment, but I'm super excited about it. And that'll be launching later in 2020. We will announce it at the first of the year, but this church is growing and we're ready and it's ramping up. So we have a lot to offer. But yeah, I'm passionate. And if you want to grow, wherever you are, I want to see your giftings used. I want to see leaders, as a teacher myself, when you have a call on your life and in the role of teacher, it doesn't just mean you like to teach. It actually means you like to create and multiply more teachers. It's the same if you have a gifting of prophecy on your life. You actually want to see more people prophesy. You want to see more people become evangelists. You want to see yourself multiplied. So I want to encourage whatever that is. So I want to be available to you to please say, hey, I have this gifting. I don't even know, if it's I make really good soup. We will put it to use, and let you grow, because I think the gifts of God are the gifts and callings are unrevocable, and he wants to use you in mighty, mighty ways. So let me help you facilitate that.
Yeah, so super thrilled to have Jessica on board. She won't say it, but she does have her master's degree in theology. So she is amazing. So her knowledge of the word is amazing, and she does such a great job of just breaking it down. So the next person I want to introduce is our worship and arts department that is head up by Brian Jardine. Brian Jardine, come on down. Brian is amazing. He's been a friend of mine for years and years. We worked together in a young adult ministry years ago. 7 years ago, to be exact, and he was our worship leader in our young adult ministry there. And I'm so happy when they said that they were coming. I was like, yes. And he's taken our worship team up from where we were to where we are now. It's amazing. So, Brian, take it away.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have an awesome worship team, don't we? I'll tell you a quick background of how I became guitarist and worship leader. About my wife will probably help me here. About 25 years ago or something, I was in a church service, and we were in a. It was like an evening worship service, and a friend of mine. I didn't know how to play an instrument or anything like that. She prophesied over me. She said, "You'll be a worship leader one day," and I was like, oh, "Okay, great." And never thought of it. This was in South Africa. And about, I would say, 7 years after that, not even thinking about it, I was like, oh, I think I want to learn the guitar. And I started learning the guitar. And then maybe about 10 years later, God really just put it on my heart to just step up and help and serve in the worship team. So this was 12 years ago or something like that. I'm really old. I mean, it's like 14, 20, 30. Just, this is all true. I'm not lying. I stood up there and I found myself playing with some of the most talented worship leaders and musicians probably around. These guys have won the Battle of the Bands in Atlanta, and I was challenged and I was forced to grow. But, I was called when Pastor David came to tell me that they were going to start a church. I was serving with him in the young adults ministry as the worship leader, and I was like, oh, okay, great. And then I think back, I'm like, man, we really should have left right then. But, everything was for the right reason. And eventually, God really put it on our hearts. to come here and to serve. And so why worship? Like, why am I involved in worship? I had a pretty interesting childhood. It was very eventful. You know, there were some challenges. And I really needed something as a foundation and anchor. So, yeah, my mom woke up one morning and she was like, I'm going to church. And I was like, okay, I'll go with you. And I went to church and I hated the worship because I was used to listening to worldly music. But I was like, you know what? They're really good musicians, though. So let me just, like, listen and enjoy it. And I did. And eventually something happened a few months in. And it was like the Holy Spirit grabbed my soul almost. It felt like it was just in my gut. And he just, like, twisted everything. And then I started hating worldly music all of a sudden. And I started loving the presence of God and the time in his presence. Worship is an incredible way for us as believers to really just press in and really know God. But it's an amazing way for people who are not believers but know that they have that emptiness to connect with God. And it's that one thing that will bring them back and say, you know what, there's something to this. Worship is amazing. You know, Jesus describes us as a few things, right? You know, we call ourselves Christians, but Jesus calls us worshipers. In fact, he calls us true worshipers. He says, there'll be a time when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And if you think about that, Jesus is actually labeling us. You know, in a world where we don't like labels, Jesus is labeling us. You are a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. That means in our life, we're designed by God to worship. So if we're walking through trouble and we say, well, you know, this is not going to work out. I mean, how many of you are like me where it's like, I'm just at the lowest point. I need to put on some worship music and I just need to press in. And all of a sudden that breakthrough happens. That's why I do what I do. This worship team is amazing. I don't even consider myself a leader of this team. I think we are complete equals. I mean, it's like I show up and I'm like, Craig, what do you think? You know, Mark, what do you think? Robert, what do you think? Jessica, what do you think? We have an amazing worship team. And then we have an amazing, I don't want to call them tech team because they are an arts team. They are the visual and audio team. And I'm biased because my wife's up there and my dad's up there. So they're good. I don't know about you guys. I think they're amazing. But I want to encourage you guys. Next year, we just want to do it better. You know, we just want to keep doing this better. But you have a part to play in this. Because if you come to church with an attitude to worship, things will change. They have to. They have to. So if you can be part of it with us, we promise to continue working. We promise to continue praying for you. But pray for us. And be here with an expectation to receive from God. Amen.
Oh, we have such a good team, amen? We have such good people in the right places. And so the last person I want to bring up is, this person is near and dear to my heart. Biased. My wife has been working with children and youth for as long as I've known my wife. And you ever seen, like, what's the Pied Piper? Like, with all that, like, this is my wife with kids. And one of my, I'm just going to say it, but she's going to hate me, but you'll have a mic in a second. But one of the things about my wife is I remember when I introduced my wife to my family, and when it just dawned on me when I watched my wife, like, go, oh, yeah, you're a brother. Excellent. You're nephews? And they and nieces, and then I watched my wife interact with the children, like, and I watched her as, you know, she would hang out with the kids and watched her. My wife has a supernatural gifting to deal and work with children, like I've never seen before, and I'm very biased, but it's absolutely the truth. My wife has a gifting, and a while back ago, my wife is, yes, she's the pastor's wife, but she's also the children and youth pastor of this church, and I just want to honor her. She is amazing at what she does, and we're so grateful. And if you have kids, you know we're grateful to have her. Julie, come on up.
Thank you. Well, hey. Okay, so children and youth ministry is the greatest ever. I'm so glad that I get to go last because I can just flat out say it. It is great. Because at what point can you go and you get to play with little kids? But you also get to be, you get the honor and the privilege of being the first one to teach them about Jesus. You get the privilege of being able to explain to them that Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the price for it. You get to teach them and introduce them to the Holy Spirit and pray for the first time. They get to experience all these things. Like, what an honor and a privilege to be like unreached people groups. You get to go in and you get to be the one. You get to teach them. And not only that, but their hearts, you know, I love all of you adults, but kids, man, their hearts are so tender, and their hearts are so open, and their heart, you tell them about Jesus, and they get excited, it is so wonderful. And then over the years, you get it, if you do it long enough, and you hang in there, you get to watch the little ones that you taught about Jesus at 2 and 3 years old, and then you get to watch them be in elementary school, and then you get to watch them start being helpers in the little kids class, and then you get to watch them start helping out in the kids class, and then they go to the youth ministry, and then they go off and get married and have kids of their own. And you get to watch, and you get to be the honor and the privilege of being a part of watching them come to know God and walk out their faith. And so it is the biggest honor of my life to be a part of all of these kids' lives, of all the different ages and stuff. And I remember when I started, I always loved kids, didn't I, Mom? I've always loved little kids, even when I was young. But then when I started out in youth ministry, I remember thinking, when I felt like God was kind of calling me to help with teenagers again, I remember thinking, I am older. I am not cool. I am, you know, like, I am not, like, I'm not the kind of person that if you throw me in a room full of teenagers that they all want to be my best friend. That's just, you know what I mean? They all want to be each other's friends. They ignore me if I go into a room full of teenagers that don't know me. But I remember what the Lord said, Julie, what do you know how to do? And I went, well, at that time, Rachel and Wes were still little. And I was like, well, I know how to be a mom. And he said, well, then just be a mom to them. So I went, okay, well, I can mom all these kids. And so, you know, so I can be a mom in all the best ways. And so that's what, you know, I feel like that's my calling in youth ministry, is just to kind of, be an auxiliary, a second mom to these kids and help them, and then to believe in them and cheer for them and mentor them and inspire them and challenge them and correct them and nurture them and all the gifts. And so that's what we do. So, and God commanded, he said, teach these things to the generations, to your children's children. He said, don't let them forget what I've done for you. And we take that very serious, that with these little kids, we cannot, and all the generations, we cannot let them forget what God has done for them. Like, I read this statistic that, like, my grandmother, who's passed away several years ago, I remember my grandma. I remember my interactions with her. I remember spending the night with her. I remember her getting a little cup of water and putting on the little table as I slept on her little sofa that she called a divan. And, you know, like, I remember sleeping at my grandma's house. My kids don't know my grandma. They'll know that I told them about they know some stories I told them about my grandma, their great grandma, but they don't know my grandma. And so it's really two generations away, your legacy is lost. Two generations away. And so my kids have no point of reference other than stories for my grandmother. And so why did God command us to teach to our children and their children and their children? Because we forget. And we will get busy in our lives, and our culture will have an agenda to teach the kids, and their, you know, their worldview is being formed by everything else out there. But it is our job to give them a God worldview. And so that's what we do, is we teach them, we love them from the moment that they're born all the way through their college years. As much as they allow us to be in their lives, we're here to help them to grow and to know God for themselves. when they get old enough, so they make a decision. So they own their own faith, and they know God for themselves, and they begin their own walk with God. And so on top of all that, we have a ton of fun. Like, this kids ministry, youth ministry is like, it's just flat out fun. Ask anybody on the in the youth and in the youth team. Like, we just have a lot of fun. If you want to just be a part of a party all the time, then just join. You know, join us. We have a lot of fun. But not just fun to have fun, but we have fun on purpose because we build community. But the biggest thing is we teach the generations about God so they don't forget. And so that's why we do what we do. So please join us. We need you. We need you. We need you in the nursery. We need you in the preschool. We need you in the elementary. We need you in the youth. We need you to help if you love college-age students. We need you to help with all that stuff, too. So we need you. Come and be a part.
Awesome.
So let me just say, in addition to that, Julie, we don't view children. They're not second-class citizens. They're people that God loves. Wiley and Candy are here. They're so great. Great to see you guys. And they call themselves missionaries to children because children are valuable to Jesus. As a matter of fact, when some of his most stern warnings that Jesus said, he said, hey, watch what you don't make one of these little ones fall, right? And then he told his disciples, hey, don't shoo these kids around. Don't shoo these kids away. Let them come. Let them come. So children are not second-class citizens. They're not somebody just to be put off to the side while we adult people do what we adult people do. No, they're valuable to Jesus. And so here at Hope Church, we value our kids. It's instilled in us who we are to value children. On your tables, I want to make you aware. Grab one of these. If you could just maybe take one and pass them out real quick. And I'll give you a second to do that. But this is these are all of the, we say, why do you have a team? Because this guy can't do it all. Right. Amen? And what this team does is it actually helps me to move the church forward like we need to move forward in 2020. Okay, so just a little bit of business. So if you have any whatever you have that is going on in your life or whatever you want, like if you want to be a part of the children's ministry, don't come tell me. Go tell Julie that I want to be a part. If you want to start a small group, go talk to Jessica. All of their contact information is on here. I meet with the team once a month, and then I meet with them individually during that month. So I'm always in communication with them, and we're just building structure in our church so that we can move the church forward. Amen. And just to give you an example of how we want to do that is I have the privilege, I'll just share with you, because it's not just me, it's the church. I was asked by a local pastor to, this is just such an honor. He's been in this community for 30 years. He's been a pastor of this church for 30 years. He knows this community, has a huge heart. He is a charismatic Episcopal guy. He is awesome. And he has asked me, and he's chosen our church and me to and eight other pastors to go to his house, and we're going to spend all day and decide and figure out how we can reach our community for Jesus. What are some creative ways that we can reach our community for Jesus? So I'm honored to be where our church is honored to be a part of that discussion on this Thursday. So just be praying for us. But what this does is this kind of stuff frees me up to be able to do that kind of stuff, so that we can actually push the gospel forward in our community and be a part of winning our community to Jesus. Amen? And so that's what our church exists, as a community of believers to help people get closer to God. That's why we exist. And so if you want to be a part of the worship team, if you want to be a part of the audiovisual back there in the back, see Brian. His email address is on there. If you want to be a part of, you make the best casserole on the planet and you want to share it with the church on a Sunday morning, see Charlene, please. We want to partake of your amazing. And amen, if you appreciate that. So actually, or you can just fill out, there's a thing on the bottom if you want to be a part of anything. This is not a hard push for this morning, but we want to make that available to you if you would like to work with any of these things. Which brings me to my next point. So how are we going to move this idea forward? One of my favorite Truett Cathy stories is this. Is Truett Cathy, and later on in his life, when mostly his sons, well, his kids rather, were running the business, and he would actually sit in those board meetings. He would actually sit in the board meetings while they would discuss the stuff. And he would towards the latter years, he really never really said anything. He just kind of sat there and was kind of the guy, right? And so evidently there was a competitor that started coming up locally, and well, not locally, nationally, and it was kind of a direct competition to Chick-fil-A. And so they were all discussing, they were brainstorming about new things that they could do. We could add this to our menu, we could add this to our menu, we could do this. And one of the most monumental moments of a Chick-fil-A board meeting, Truett Cathy stood up from his chair and he started banging his fist on the table. He said these words that if you've ever heard any leadership teaching, you've heard this story. He said, "We don't need to do anything new. We just need to do what we're doing and do it better." Was it last year? There was an organization that came out and they said, "We want to push our burgers." That was IHOP. And they made it IHOB for a while. How many of y'all are so excited about your IHOP hamburgers? How many of y'all tried an IHOP hamburger after that? Yeah. I actually did too. It was terrible. I personally did not like it. So, we see how well that went over. IHOP is International House of Pancakes. They do pancakes really good. They didn't need to do hamburgers. That was one of the marketing fails of our culture. Because a pancake place tried to push their hamburgers. We don't need to do a whole lot of new things. We just need to do what we're doing and do it better. Bill Belichick, I hate to even mention his name. He is Bill Belichick. He's the coach of the New England Anyway, he's the coach of the New England Patriots. And I'll just step out of my fandom for a second and we'll say, without a doubt, one of the best organizations in football, if not the best. Bill Belichick, they have one, in leadership, you have all these sayings, right? It's big to have, the drive to succeed or be whatever. Bill Belichick has one phrase, and it's throughout the organization of the New England Patriots. His one phrase is this: do your job. Do your job. And in an interview I watched, when he was talking about this whole idea, he said, "Actually, I wish I would add this." He says, "Do your job." He says, "Do your job well. Do your job well." Ephesians 4, verse 15 says this: "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, Christ, from Him the whole body joined and held together," but watch this, "by each supporting ligament grows and builds itself up as each part does its work." Bill Belichick might have been quoting scripture. Do our jobs. And so what my heart is for this next year, and I talked to our leadership team about it this past Monday, is I want to tweak that word a little bit, that phrase a little bit. And I want us, as a body of believers, as members of Hope Church, and I want us, myself included, to do our best. To do your best. To do your best. What does do your best look like on a Sunday morning? I'll tell you. Picture, if you will, watch this scenario. A young family decides probably earlier that week that they need to start coming to church. Why does a young family start wanting to come to church? Because they're bored? Because they would just rather not sleep in on a Sunday morning. It could be a young family. It could be anybody. I'm going to use a young family. They decide to come to church. And somebody invited them to church. And so, timidly, this young family sits out in the parking lot going, this place has like a dirt parking lot. This is like a warehouse. But you know what? They brave through. Because you know why? Not because they're bored. Not because they just didn't have anything better to do. They didn't need an opportunity to control their kids for a little bit. Nope, they did what they did because they're looking for God. That's why people come to church. Unless they heard about our food. But they come to church because people are looking for God. So they walk up to our door. Everything's blown off. Everything looks neat. Past the dirt parking lot. They walk up, and before they're even greeted by the greeters, they're already, well, because there's William out there. And he's shaking everybody's hand that walks through the door. He may give you one of those big William hugs. And as he walks through the door, they're already greeted by the people who aren't really even, that's their job to greet. But they're also a believer. But then they walk in, and they're greeted by our greeter, our first impressions team, our greeting team. And immediately they're felt welcome. Immediately the welcome team realizes that they have kids, and they probably don't know where the children's classes are or which classes their kids are supposed to go to. So the greeting team actually walks them back to the, walks the mom and the kids back to the classes and shows them and helps them sign in. Where, because we're all doing our best, there's somebody back there ready, willing, and excited to greet and receive that kid. There's music playing. It looks like fun. It looks really cool because we had some creative people design some really cool things in the rooms. And then as they walk back, because they probably woke up late, there's breakfast available for them. Because people who love to do this kind of stuff, they brought food. The coffee's ready. It's hot, ready to go. They're also they're greeted by different people from our church. Because it's not just the greeter's job to greet. Side issue, do you know we didn't have greeters on purpose for years? We've just started having greeters. Because you know why? My philosophy is we're all greeters. So they eat. They come in. Our church starts on time. Right at 10 o'clock. Our band starts right on time at 10 o'clock every Sunday. Why? Because they're doing their best. The band is amazing because they do their best. Because they practice, not only do they practice on Wednesday nights, but they practice throughout the week. They know their stuff when they get to practice. They know their job. They know their music. presence of God comes in. There's no distractions because the audiovisual team are on it. People experience the presence of God. We're all giving our God our best because we're all worshiping God. We're all pressing in to God to create an atmosphere where God really can move. And because we're all doing our best. The pastor gets up confidently. You know why? Because I didn't just prepare last night till 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready to go. The pastor's ready to go. Whoever's speaking is ready to go because they studied. And they know that what they're going to say that morning. Unless the Holy Spirit moves and we yield. My opinion, the Holy Spirit moved on me Tuesday afternoon while I was studying. He's read. He spent time with God. And he senses God's anointing as he steps into what God's called him to do. This young family has been given every opportunity. Because why? We all did our best. We all recognize that the job of our church is to draw people closer to God. Our job as a church is because you don't know the people who walk through those doors. You don't know why, what brought them to church. You don't know that if they say, if this church doesn't work for me, I'm out, I'm done. Because I talk to people like that all the time outside of church. My passion is if you could picture our church like a nest for people, no matter where they're at on their journey, to be able to come in. The little down feathers are all there. A place where somebody who doesn't know God or is away from God or have had bad experience with church, they can come and come in our services and meet with God and go, you know what, I don't even know, but there's something about these people that are at Hope Church. There's something about, they're a little different because I've talked to some of them. They're not all perfect, but they all love God. And they're all pursuing God. And it's not just a concert. It's not just an event. It's person on person, you and I, meeting people together at their point of need to say, let me point you to Jesus. By the way, I greeted you this morning. By the food I cooked, by the preparation that the worship team did, by the preparation that the team did, by the preparation that our children's department did, because they didn't decide that it was just babysitting. They decided it was impartation time for God's presence. That we all do our job. And we all do our best. That young family, they move closer to God. And they maybe make a decision for Him. Or maybe not this week. Maybe it'll be next week. Or maybe it'll be the following week. But there's something about that Hope Church. Because, let me just tell you, most people know what a Christian's supposed to be like. Can I get an amen? What if we were that church? What if we were that church to impact a young family that comes in? What if we were that church who God used so that when you're all out sharing the love of Jesus, an unbeliever can come into this church and find a group of people who love God. And when they come to church, they come on purpose. They come with a desire. I am convinced. You heard them. We have incredible leaders in our church. We have people that God's going to use and is using. We have a great board that helps us making other decisions. Craig, Nathan's actually here. He's on our board. We have others that we meet with. We talk about finance. We talk about all kind of stuff. Mike Buckley, that helps organize and make sure we're all saying where we need to go and keep us on point. We're structured in our church like never before. It's time, and I've said it before, it's not my church. It's not my church. It's Jesus' church. And God, listen. One of our biggest problems in our culture is teenage depression. One of our biggest problems in our culture are people who are realizing that doing it the world's way ain't working. It's not working. You and I can be the answer to that. We can be, as the old adage say, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can be exactly what God's called us to be. You are anointed by God. You have the anointing on the inside of you to do what God's called you to do, whether it's serving, whether it's just attending. God has called you and equipped you to do what He wants you to do to help people get closer to Him. As though God Himself were pleading through you, God, be reconciled with God. Just be reconciled with God. Let's bow your heads. So God, we look to You. Jesus. We look to You. God, I pray, God, that You would give us all ears to hear right now, God, what Your Spirit would want to say to us. God, I ask, would You just use us? I want this question to be on your heart. Say, God, what is my part? What is my part? In this vision, what is my part? What is my part? Holy Spirit, I pray that You'd reveal that to us. And let me just say, if you're at a place where maybe you're new coming in, and you just say, I need just some time to just chill. We understand that. Totally understand that. There are times when you come into a new church and you go, I just need to chill. I just need maybe even some restoration in my own life. I hear that. But there are others of us that God's speaking to you about how you can be involved. Maybe God would call you to be involved by just talking to coworkers, talking to other people. Maybe God would use you to be on the First Impressions team or be a part of the children's ministry or be a part of the audiovisual or the worship team or whatever. Just ask, just say, God, what's my part? Let's all stand together.